So again, good to be back right in the after we've been into this subject for 3 weeks. We've been in the process of being at the table with one another. The first week we heard about Jesus' new command to love one another, and that it was new because it was more elevated. It was more intense, and it was more selfless love than we were used to. And then last week, while exploring Colossians 3, you learned how we can be able to live in a one another way. And so today, Paul tells us in Romans 12:10 to be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's it. So go do that. Okay, well, how do we do that, right? I'm guessing you want to know that. Devotion and honor. Those are words. Those are heavy words. They don't come naturally. When you read or watch the news, how many instances of devotion and honor do you ever see? But Paul's telling us that we as Jesus followers have to. We have no choice. And because Paul gives us no choice, he's very helpful in showing us the way to be devoted and to honor others. But here's an important idea that I want to share with you today. You owe it to the rest of us to be the best version of yourself. Now, you might think, I don't owe you anything. but what I do and who I am is my business. And that would be true if you weren't a part of something. You see, if you sign up to be a Jesus follower, you're actually signing up to be a part of his church, one part of the body. And it's the commitment to the we, not the me. It's like a player and a team decide if they were going to play the game without the rest of the team in mind. Imagine a player who skipped training camp, decided to eat unhealthy all summer as they prep for the season. Imagine a quarterback who never came to practice, or a teammate that hangs out partying the night before every game each week. Sure, they might be able to play at some level because they have gifts and abilities. Maybe they could even put up some amazing stats. But how good would the team be with a player like that on the team? So what does the best version of ourselves mean? Becoming the best version of ourselves sounds like a good title for a self-help book, doesn't it? But that's not what being the best version of yourself is all about when it comes to church and when it comes to faith. To understand this idea better today, we're going to dive into Romans chapter 12 to help us do that. And Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2 starts right out by telling us the basic attitude that any individual, Christian, or church should have toward God. That's pretty important, right? These verses are the foundation for the more specific teachings like how do we honor one another and how do we live in a life that's devoted to one another with love. And Paul helps us immediately understand what it takes to be the best version of ourselves when he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, the first thing we need to do is to offer ourselves as a sacrifice. Whoa, was not expecting that. Paul is not saying that we literally make an offering to God like Old Testament burn the goats and burn the doves. Rather, it's by taking the attitude of a servant of God. It doesn't mean that we earn God's love or favor by performing for him. That's not what sacrifice is. When we live our lives in service to God, we're simply returning the love and respect to the one who has already given us everything. So in what ways can we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God? Well, one way is by allowing to God to allow you to become a better version of yourself. You can train your body to be physically fit. You can eat healthy foods. You can become disciplined in the areas of prayer and Bible study. When you do those things, it's pleasing to God, and it's an act of worship toward God. In sexuality, we need to give ourselves over to God to avoid pornography, to be faithful to within the context of marriage and both physically and emotionally. Every way we use our bodies is a sacrifice to God that makes us a healthier and better version of ourselves, which benefits the whole church body. So here's the question, how do we do that? I mean, it's easy to say, just be better. But this isn't about a checklist of things to do or a flippant bumper sticker ideal. Paul then gives us specific instructions to help us. First, he urges to do not conform. Look at that in Romans 12, the beginning of verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is a world that is consumed by personal passions, that is obsessed with personal desires, that we do things in accordance with our will, not the will of God. It's a world full of lying and stealing and cheating and hating and slandering and gossiping and blaspheming and murdering and coveting. Let me go on. The word conform can mean means to pattern after, or to be shaped by, or to be pressed into a mold. You guys remember cookie presses, right? Yeah, same thing. You're conformed to that pattern. When something is pressed into a mold, it takes on the shape or look of whatever the mold is. The point is, when a person is conforming to the world, they're being pressed or shaped into the pattern or the waves of the world. Conforming is really easy to do. I don't have to tell you how to do that. It takes very little effort, takes very little thought. You just do what everyone else around you is doing. The world around us is constantly pushing us to conform. Constantly. You know that. We have become a copying society. We copy other ways, people's way of talking, way of walking, way of dressing, and way of life. A lot of us want to be like others, those that seem to have a better life, those that seem to be talk better, dress better, those that seem to have a more interesting and perfect life. We want to be like them. Recently, I've decided, and I haven't been faithful to it. I wanted to, but it's going to happen. I've decided to limit my morning news from my routine. I'm finding it to be more toxic than informative. It's an active decision. My passive habit is one I have to break. I go through a routine in the morning, includes devotions, and then the toxicity, which sort of eliminates what I've just done. So I'm going to try to amend that behavior. So the passive habit is one I have to break. I have to actively make that decision. It's going to make me a better version of me. As a Christ follower, we can't think we can surf Facebook, go to work all day, engage in worldly conversations, talk with our families, watch a little TV, mow the lawn, do housework, and somehow, some way, become a better version of ourselves. It's hard to be ourselves and live God-honoring lives when we are busy trying to be other people. It's impossible. We can't ever become the best versions of ourselves by conforming and following the well-traveled road. There's safety, there's comfort being part of the herd. And to that, Paul shoots up flares, warning of the danger to where conforming can lead you. So how you doing? Well, here's some questions to consider. Other than going to church on Sunday, doing a Bible devotion from time to time, does my Christian life look any different than the world around me? Do my dreams, do my goals, do my aspirations look any different than the rest of the world? Does the way I treat people or interact with, in relationship with the people that I care about, and frankly, maybe those I don't care enough about, does that look any different than the rest of the world? The answer is no. You've likely conformed to the pattern of the world. It's easy to do. You've bought into the me, not we mentality, okay? Instead, Paul urges us, and this is the harder part, to be transformed. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. That was the first part. And then he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So have you ever watched the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly? It's an amazing and fascinating process. It's also a great illustration of what we're talking about today. When a caterpillar begins its transformation, it goes through a process called metamorphosis. All caterpillars create a protective shell known as a chrysalis, which is simply the insect with a hard exterior. Think about it in terms of what we are talking about today. This is the do not be conformed stage. To be able to change, the caterpillar needs to protect itself from the outside elements. It can't have anything interrupt or affect what it is going to go through. So it puts up a barrier of protection. It doesn't allow anything external to interrupt what's about to take place. And inside the cocoon and the chrysalis, the caterpillar begins transforming into a new creature. Now this requires an amazing process of that the old caterpillar body be broken down and actually die and become something new. Think of it as an insect recycling. Inside a chrysalis, a caterpillar's body digests itself from the inside out until it becomes a new and beautiful creation. The word transform doesn't involve an outward force, but instead an inward force. The only way you can be devoted to and honor others is to be transformed into the best version of yourself by changing from the inside out. And transformation happens. Paul says, as you go through the process of renewing your mind, and that's called the discipleship journey. We call that discipleship journey the head, the hearts, the hand, and the feet. Becoming a disciple of Jesus is not a one-step, one-moment transformation. It requires a renewal of your mind through the transformation of your entire self. It's transforming your view of God, learning about God, and from God. It's transforming your heart to love your neighbor as yourself. It's transforming your hands by becoming a sacrifice to others in your time and your talents and your treasures. And lastly, it's a transformation of your feet by living out the good news of Jesus in the world, because it's too good to keep to yourself. You got to share it. For Christians, our destinies become like Jesus. That's what our destiny is. This is what we're moving to. With each day, we become more like Jesus. And while conforming is easy, transformation is difficult. Transformation requires effort. If our lives are still filled with envy and selfishness and regret and vengeful hearts, we certainly are not close to being the best versions of ourselves, let alone becoming like Jesus. If we have more in common with the world, if we have been cheating on God with the world, we need to repent. We need to change. Paul says, renew. What is a renewed mind? A renewed mind is something like a supercharger on a car engine. A supercharger draws in extra air. It blows in extra air, adding to the mixture of gasoline and air that burns in the car's engine. And just by forcing in more air, the supercharged engine puts out a great deal more power. A renewed mind is like that. A renewed mind is supercharged. A renewed mind takes in the breath, the wind of the Holy Spirit, and mingles in the presence of God with its own abilities. How does that process work? Are our minds renewed automatically? Is it something that just happens by sitting around and being a Christian? Is this what it looks like to renew your mind, to keep doing what you were doing before you knew Jesus? Of course not. The way our minds are renewed is through reading and studying and hanging out with each other and meditating and praying. To renew our minds takes active participation on our part. It's not a passive transformation. It is an active transformation. Offering ourselves to God is a very personal matter. At the same time, there is a community aspect to all of this. It is the me in the we. The primary quality of necessary is that we need to be humble. Humble people don't view serving others as beneath them, but they see it as a following in the footsteps of Jesus. Discipleship isn't about titles, but towels. Remember, washing the feet. That's a clever little TNT thing there. It's about stooping to wash the feet of others around us, just like Jesus did. Discipleship isn't about seeking the highest position, but the most helpful position as we seek to serve others. Humble people are willing to do whatever is needed, no matter who gets the credit. They put the we first. So Paul urges us, Don't be conformed. Do transform in order to become the best version of ourselves for one another. And here's how this all comes together for all of us. Here's why this is important, and you've been seeing it there for the last 10 minutes, so it's steeped in your brains. This is the reason. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's a good outcome, isn't it? When you don't conform and you transform by the renewing of your minds, when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, there's your answer. Then what? You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And that goes for the church, what his will for this church is, what his will for you is. He lets you know. I've had so many people, and I know you have too, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, here's the way you find out. You don't conform to the world. You transform by the renewing of your mind. It's not easy, I'm telling you, but God's will can be known. When it comes to God's will, so many Christians fall into the thinking of me, not we. Quite often that happens. I mean, it's understandable. I want to know, what's God's will for my life? What's my purpose? Why am I here? How do my dreams, my aspirations align with God? Are they aligned? But let me simplify it. God's will is that this world be transformed. That's that, like that caterpillar, that it goes through a transformation, becoming a new creation. That wasn't a passive transformation. I want you to understand that. That was a drastic transformation that we saw in that caterpillar. You saw violence in front of your eyes. You saw a death and a resurrection. That's beautiful. God's will is that his church lay the foundation for that to happen. That through our involvement and our interaction with the world around us, that we usher in his kingdom, the very definition of on earth as it is in heaven. And the way we move toward that and achieve that is by devoting ourselves and honoring one another. Oh, good, we got back to that. That we each become a new creation and the healthiest version of ourselves, so that we can become the healthiest version of God's kingdom here together. That's the devotion part. It means being committed to one another. Together, learning to be healthy among one another, learning to build our healthy bodies and carry out the will of God. That's the challenge. Again, I told you, it's easy to conform. There's no effort. I know how easy that trap is to fall into because I fall into it myself. I know how easy it is to fall into the me mentality because that's how we're all wired. But that's exactly why we need to be in community with one another, because community reminds us that the we is the will of God. And so I'm so glad to be with you this week. You're the we in my life. When we do that, we honor each other by becoming the best version of ourselves. And you honor me by becoming the best version when I become the best version of myself. And we honor God by becoming the best version of his kingdom with each other. Amen. Lord, thank you for the reminder that in this world we will have trouble, but you will give us your peace, that we're to be in this world, that we're to be transformed, to renew our minds. And that's going to take effort, but Lord, we can do it together. We're part of a church body. This is not a Lone Ranger activity. We have each other. Help us be devoted to each other. Help us honor each other. And help us love each other every day in every way. In the name of the risen Christ we proclaim. Amen.